House Finance, please come to order. It's 3:04 p.m. on May 10th, I believe, 2011. Should have been posted on our agenda. House Bill 107 / Senate Bill 46, the House and Senate versions of the capital budget. Today we have a presentation of the capital budget that's before the House Finance Committee, which has been put together with the aid of my capital budget chief aide, James Armstrong. So, folks, we have before us the five. Pardon? Oh, yeah, members present here. We've been a little rusty. We haven't been here in full order for a couple of days, so I've sat through energy meetings. We have members present, Representative Chu, Representative T. Wilson, Representative Vettenberg, Vice Chair Faircloth Stoltz, Co-Chair Thomas, Representative Dugan, Representative Benjamin, Representative Costello, and Representative Newman. We have a quorum to conduct business. And Representative Guerra. So we have the finance CS that's before members. Madam Vice Chair, would you move the bill, and I'll object for a presentation of the bill. It's not our intent to move this bill today. We have a process of, first of all, we want everybody to know what's in it. Many of the stuff will be familiar if you've looked at Senate Bill 46, and to go through the public process, which we've described as a necessary part of this, and have the amendment process as we do would do any other appropriation bill as we go through the public process and our traditional process here. So, Madam.
Mr. Chairman, I move before the committee the CS for House Bill number 107, Finance 27-GH1740/E, dated 5/9/11.
I'll object. Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you. Did you want to take a 20-second?
Yeah, let's
so people can the crowd can get it outside.
Yeah, you know, I forgot that. We'll stand briefly in recess. At ease. We'll call it at ease. House, come back to order after that brief at ease. Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you. The CS in front of you, the House Committee Substitute, spends a little over $3 billion, $3,049,170,000. Of that, 1.6 of it is general funds, $236 million of designated general funds, almost $50 million in other state funds, and $1,146 million of federal funds. Section 1 of the bill contains the grants to municipalities, page 5, line 4, to page 45, line 4, has grants to name recipients, grants to the unincorporated communities. One thing that the House added, point members to page 118, lines 5 through 17. With conversations with the University of Alaska, this adds $100 million in revenue bond authority, Mr. Chairman. So the University of Alaska over the next 5 years can issue their own revenue bonds for deferred maintenance projects, and it's broken down by region, like there's $37.5 million of general funds.
Right.
So all the House ads and the Senate ads, most of it is contained in Section 1. and it has a majority of the governor's original capital budget. Do you want me to hold off for questions, or you just want me to just go through that?
Why don't we go through that and highlight the items that we have, the debt service payment, and we'll get to that, and some of the highlights that that I've instructed you to incorporate. So why don't you proceed through your schedule and presentation.
I'd move members to page 126, section 4. This has all the statewide energy projects. It's crafted a little bit different than the version in the other body. It appropriates $120 million, roughly, to the Alaska Energy Authority, and now lists those projects that were formerly general fund appropriations to municipalities. They are now allocations within the section, and the intent language that has been the focus of some of the hearings this past weekend has been modified. The intent language is on page 127, lines 17 through 21.
And just a notation, the 50% language that the Senate sent over, we're still looking at that and how to make sure that that doesn't have a negative impact. We have a couple of days here in process to address that.
It also appropriates $71,500,000 to the Alaska Energy Authority for all of the RTEC projects. So those are segregated out in their own separate section. And those projects are not, there's no applicability of the 50% intent language to the RTEC projects. It also, page 138, line 11. It bumps up the home energy rebate program that Alaska Housing Finance Corporation performs by an extra $5 million. And if you look on top of go to the previous page, page 137, the FY12 appropriation for the Gas Line Development Corporation of $21 million is included in this section, which was not in the previous or the version that the Senate is considering as we speak. So those are the major changes to the energy section of the bill. Section 7, it's page 141 to page 142. This is the cruise ship-related projects, and we added two projects. Alaska Aviation Museum Energy and Safety Improvements for $495,000, and the Alaska Wildlife Conservation Center of $400,000. Those are the only two additions to the version that everybody has seen in the other body.
And our additions seem pretty modest compared to the other expenditures, quite frankly, that they're connected tourism projects.
Section 10, which begins on page 145 and goes to page 150, appropriates $200 million for education projects, $76 million for the construction of the three new schools, and $73 million in major maintenance funding for 33 schools, and there's about $50 million in grants to municipalities for individual school projects around the state. Okay, and move on, members, to page 153 to 155. This is the supplemental capital projects. They were contained in the governor's original supplemental bill. They were not funded in any version of any drafts, yes, on the other body. They total about $61 million. And also in that is $7.2 million of supplemental funding for the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation for their FY11 needs, which has been requested by the third floor. So that's it for the numbers section. I would move members to page 158, lines 1 through 6. This is something similar that this body did last year in the capital budget, appropriate $7.8 million of Children's Trust proceeds to the Alaska Children's Trust to aid in the prevention of child abuse and neglect. And so that's new, but mimics the language that we had last year. Section 17 starts on line 7. This is something new. I don't think the legislature has done before. And you have a debt retirement schematic, 6 pages in your packets. A couple months ago, we started working with the Department of Revenue and OMB, and I'd ask for this provision to ask Ms. Rayfield to join us here.
Ms. Rayfield, this has been a House leadership and caucus priority to pay off some of our debt as a terms of real true savings and reduction in operating budgets in the future. So it's been referred to as a concession. I think it's good public policy.
So anyway, what we're doing is paying off some bonded debt and some certificates of participation that we've incurred over the years, $25 million for some Anchorage lease revenue refunding bonds, $24 million dollars for 3 separate projects, the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, which occurred in 2002, the Seafood and Food Safety Laboratory Facility in 2003, and the State Virology Laboratory Facility that were issued in 2005. So that entails roughly $49 million, and there's in the members' packet they can digest over the next few days of what it all entails. And Ms. Rayfield had maybe one comment that we've worked on that.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, members of the committee. For the record, Karen Rayfield with the Office of Management and Budget. We had discussed the opportunity to perhaps do some bond defeasance that would result in an annual savings to the state through our debt service needs. So as you can see through the CS that's in front of you and the proposal here, there will be an ongoing annual operating savings of about $12 million.
Paying off the mortgage early.
That's correct.
And it increases in out years until about 2020. Unfortunately, the operating budget is closed out. So if we adopt this language and it makes it through the other side, we'd have a $12 million decrement in next year's supplemental. Keep on going through. The next section is section 19, page 159, lines 14 through 19. And this appropriates $200 million of Alaska Housing Capital Corporation funds to an in-state gas pipeline fund when and if it is created in Alaska Statute 18.56 by the 27th Legislature. And the next section below is similar, appropriates $400 million of the corporation funds to the Alaska Performance Scholarship Investment Fund, if and when it's created in AS 1856 by the 27th Legislature. So in order to do that, we had to do some fund transfers in Section 20. And Section 20 is on 159, page 159, lines 20 through 27. But the first section, subsection B, doesn't relate with what I just spoke about. This $222 million, the general funds that funds the Renewable Energy Grant Fund, which pays for the Section 4 projects, the energy projects that I spoke of earlier. So subsection C appropriates $200 million at fiscal year 12 funding, general funds, to the Alaska Housing Capital Corporation Fund. And subsection D appropriates $400 million of fiscal year 11, this fiscal year, to the Alaska Housing Capital Corporation Fund. And some other language highlights. I'd start members on page 161, lines 11 through 15. When the governor first introduced his bill, there was five or six items that were deemed mostly operating appropriation in nature and were removed from the numbers section of the budget. They didn't make it in the other version of the budget as of today. What the language section does, in working with Mr. Teal and Mr. Carpenter from Ledge Finances, is make them multi-year operating appropriations. So four of them were added in. Lines 11 through 15 is the commerce for testing of seed potatoes. And then I have you go to page 162, lines 8 to 11. $400,000 for recreational shellfish beach monitoring pilot program. The big one is on page 162, line 24, to page 163, line 6. These three subsections total $14 million for the BP corrosion case, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Tariff, and $2 million for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission proceedings on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline corporate income tax matters. So those were in the original budget submitted on December 15th, and they reappear now. And there's one, I'm sorry, there's one more, page 163, lines 10 through 13. It's the Department of Revenue, $100,000 to the Permanent Fund Division for software training and staff. The next one, the next debt retirement is in section 31, page 163, lines 29 to page 164, line 11. Members will remember in 2008, a bond package was passed by both bodies and sent to voters, which was adopted in about $30 million of transportation geo bonds.
It wasn't quite that big when it left here, but you got there. Despite an ironclad agreement.
So far, DOT and Department of Revenue issued about $180 million worth of those bonds. And so they only issue the bonds when they need the money for the construction projects. So this section retires that $150 million, and essentially we're just paying cash right now and retiring that bonded indebtedness for the next 15 years for those transportation bonds.
Yeah, and our debt reimbursement, just it's a mix of the certificates of participations, the other instruments, and the general obligation bonds, but it's all public obligation debt.
No, okay.
When you add them all together, it's just a little bit shy of $200 million of debt retirement.
So page 165, line 2 to page 175, line 12, these are the legislative district reappropriations. I would urge all members to make sure that your individual reappropriations are in there. There was some the Senate did not do. So hopefully we got them all. So just let me know if our office know if we didn't get them all. And the last little thing I have on the legislative agency reappropriations are all contained on page 175, line 13, to page 177, line 2. And that's all I had as far as a snapshot of that.
That's a pretty thorough snapshot for a pretty comprehensive document, and appreciate everybody's patience going through that. I'm going to remove my objection to adopting the CS. Is there any other objection maintained? Hearing none, this version of House Bill 107 will be for us for consideration. Hopefully, I think everybody knows a lot of the game plan going on in the building. The Senate is hearing a capital budget bill, and they intend to send it to us. Be my intent to take up their bill if it comes over, and following the tradition. But this bill, as we said, contains the Senate projects as they came over, and the legislative appropriations are fairly modest compared to the. So I'm refreshing me the number of the Senate adds on the capital budget versus ours are absent. Well, it's, we've got two large items there that were supposed to be in the operating budget, $400 million and $200 million. Absent those, which would be in another appropriation bill. This has been a not usual year. But our legislative add-ons from the House side, including things left off, is under $200 million. So we've tried to exercise fiscal restraint. I'm sure we'll break that barrier through some amendments here, things that were errors, omissions, or necessities to get through the process. But it's our intent to either have the public hearing on either Senate Bill 46 or this bill. I think you'll see similarities other than ours has an absence of certain language, which the House has found issues with. So I think it's probably safe to assume the position of the majority of this committee, what our preference is on the language. So, everybody take a good look overnight, and objectively and subjectively, and we'll reconvene for public testimony at 9 a.m. tomorrow, being nimble if we get another bill or have to wait for the bill. But I'd like to start the public testimony. I think it's going to be germane for either bill on the capital budget process. So, Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Chairman, did you want to talk about amendments so they can get prepped?
And amendments, there's a difficulty, obviously. You're looking at this bill, and then if we deal with another bill, but we're looking at our schedule, maybe kind of shooting for Thursday morning around 10 o'clock or so as a cutoff date, just looking ahead. And the difficulty of not knowing which bill, I hope folks can we wade through that morass. It's not been a traditional session here or special session. So, any other questions from the members?
Sure.
Representative Guerra.
I don't know if this is for Ms. Rehfeldt or if anybody's done a calculation, but assuming something like this bill passes, does anybody have a calculation of what will be left over for the fiscal year savings?
Fiscal year savings for what year? It has a running total on the back, Representative Guerra, of with the running total of all three. So FY12 is $13,134,000. FY13 is $14.5 million, and you can see how it peaks in FY16 at $21 million, and then it gradually goes down. So after 2022, you can just see it's probably just doing the rest of the GO bonds. I think Mr. Mitchell, he crafted this document, so I don't see him here, though.
Thank you. I think I misstated that through the chair.
We get into new definitions of savings. Senator Hoffman has referred to the PCE as savings. We could similarly refer to the gas line appropriations as savings, or similarly the scholarship is savings, so we get into some semantics as well.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, could I ask, is there a deposit in here to the statutory or constitutional budget reserve?
That was in the operating budget.
No, it's through the chair. It was the language, if anything not spent is in the supplemental that passed. So anything that's not spent in FY11 automatically rolls into the statutory budget reserve.
And through the chair, do we have an estimate of what that is? That's what I'm trying to get at.
I have an estimate. It's probably 10 or 11 days old. I can talk to Ledge Finance and get you that today.
Sure.
Okay.
Any other questions? Well, let everybody, I know folks are anxious to tear through this, and we'll let everybody have their look at it. Mr. Armstrong, do you have any closing remarks?
Mr. Carpenter came in. I have to applaud him for doing two bills at once. It's been 7 years. He's going to have all of the comparisons on the Ledge Finance website pretty soon, so you can look at compare and contrast with the Senate version and all the subtle nuances and differences. So,
And I hope I'm on a clear understanding for all the public and everybody here. If we get the Senate version, it's our intent to deal with that. That's the most expeditious way to get out of session. And it's a traditional route that we've handled the capital budget, at least 18 or 19 out of the last 20 years. So with that, we will adjourn until 9 a.m. tomorrow for public testimony on the capital budget versions.